Burn. He tutted at me and twisted my nipple. I cried out at the bite of pain, and wetness slipped down my cheeks. Andres's nostrils flared, his eyes blazing. He tried to push up onto his feet, but the guards held him down with a firm grip on his shoulders.
He doesn't like that, Christian observed. I thought you enjoyed when she cried, Andres. Or are you the only one who's allowed to enjoy her tears?
He leaned around me, so his chest pressed against my back, as he brought his face close to mine. His hot tongue touched my face, tasting my tears. I shuddered and flinched away.
I should fuck her raw while you watch, he continued, his tone conversational.
You said... I gasped for breath, desperate to get away, to save Andres before Christian could use me to destroy him.
You said this was for show,
I managed on a ragged whisper.
You promised I could hurt him if I worked for you.
I had to get down and get my hands on that knife. It no longer mattered to me if I got shot. It was the only opening I'd get, and I had to take the risk. Christian laughed, running his hand along the curve of my hip.
She's a vicious little thing, he said. No wonder you couldn't manage to break her. Is that why you're so obsessed with her? All of your other pets were very obedient by the time you handed them over to me.
My gut churned at this horrible revelation. Andres had trained other women before me. Of course he had. I'd always known, even if I didn't want to dwell on it. Why else would he have kinky toys stashed all over his penthouse with a built-in playroom? But the knowledge that Christian had taken them for himself, once they were trained, made nausea creep up my throat. No wonder Andres had been so possessive of me from the very beginning. I remembered Christian promising that he'd be allowed to keep me. I was the only woman his brother had ever allowed him to keep, and now he was trying to take me away from Andres, too. I couldn't allow him to take anything else from Andres. He'd taken his family, his innocence, his pride. He'd stripped him of everything and everyone he cared about, leaving him scarred and cold.
Let me down, I demanded, with as much vindictive fervor as I could manage.
I drew on my hatred of Christian to channel righteous rage into my features. He had to believe I'd hurt Andres for him. Give me what I want, and I'll give you what you want.
Savage, Christian remarked with approval. Your little pet is going to cut you up for me, he told Andres. You risked your life to set her free, and she came back here to kill you. But don't worry. I won't let her take things that far. You'll survive this, and I'll patch you up again after. I'll always take care of my baby brother.
Andres had gone pale, and his body shook with something other than rage. He stared at me, his eyes wide with disbelief. Then his jaw firmed and he nodded. More tears flowed down my cheeks. I wasn't sure if he thought he deserved for me to hurt him, or if he was trying to tell me it was okay to do what I had to in order to survive. Either way, his response was unacceptable. I wanted to scream at him that I loved him and I'd never hurt him. But I had to get the knife first. Christian reached up and finally unbuckled the cuffs around my wrists. My body dropped, and I barely caught my hands on the concrete floor before my face smashed into it.
Get up, Christian said coldly. You have work to do.
I pushed up onto my feet and turned to face him. He held out the knife, offering it to me hilt first. I drew a deep breath and then sprang into action. I grabbed the knife at the same time as I jammed my forefingers into his throat. He clutched at his neck, dropping to his knees. Gunshots rang out, pain seared through my right hip, but adrenaline coursed through me, keeping my body going. I ducked behind Christian for cover and pressed the knife to his carotid artery while my other hand fisted in his thick hair, yanking his head back to expose his throat.
I could have killed him in that moment. I would have killed him for everything he'd done to the man I loved. But the guards were still armed, and Andres was still bound and at risk of being shot. "Drop your weapons," I ordered. "Do it, or I'll kill your boss." The guards slowly lowered their guns to the ground, their eyes fixed on the knife I held to Christian's throat. He was still making horrible choking sounds as he struggled to draw in air. "Untie Andres," I barked the command. They hesitated, so I increased the pressure of the knife just enough to make a drop of blood bead on Christian's skin. They hastened to comply, sealing their fates. As soon as Andres was free, he attacked. He was breathtaking in fluid, violent motion. My dark, avenging angel. I watched with detached interest as he snapped their necks. The world was going hazy, surreal, but I kept my hold on Christian as he continued choking beneath the knife. Andres turned to me as the second guard's lifeless body hit the floor. He closed the distance between us and went down on one knee, so he was eye level with me.
"Hand me the knife, Cosita," he ordered, his voice oddly smooth and calm.
My fingers were going numb around the hilt anyway, so he easily plucked it from my hand. His gaze left me to focus on his brother. A vicious snarl twisted his scar deep into his perfect face, and he lashed out. Christian screamed as the blade sliced through his cheek, deep enough that I caught a flash of teeth and bone. Andres closed his eyes and took a deep breath, savoring the sound. Then his gaze found Christian again, piercing him with a wickedly sharp, black stare. He drew the knife back and slammed it into the center of his brother's chest. He growled as he twisted the blade. Christian's entire body shuddered, then sagged back against me, where I was still crouched behind him. His dead weight fell on me, and I couldn't seem to get my hands up to push him away. The room was growing darker, the spare light bulb dimming. Andres heaved his brother's body off me, his expression twisted with some emotion I didn't understand.
"Sirenita," he said, strained, "stay with me."
"I came back for you. I'll never leave you," I promised, my voice strangely faint. I tried to reach up to touch his face, but my arms wouldn't work. "I love you."
He scooped me up against his chest. An agony lanced through my hip. A strangled cry ripped its way up my throat as he rushed me to the elevator. As it slowly ascended, Andre started murmuring to me in Spanish, in the soothing way I loved so much. I sighed and pressed my face into his chest, the pain receding as I slipped into warm darkness. Chapter 26. 1 month later.
"Seriously, Dex, I'm fine," I told him for the thousandth time. My webcam specs and internet connection were flash enough that I could see the little furrows in his brow where his face filled my laptop screen. "Are we going to play a game or what?"
"Where are you?" he asked. "Come home, please." I shook my head and lounged back against my headboard, glancing down to make sure Andres' shirt wasn't gaping open. I didn't want to accidentally flash my best friend. I'd only covered myself with the shirt so I could video chat with him. Otherwise, I wasn't really allowed clothes these days. I didn't mind at all. I liked being naked here. It was warm and humid on our little private island. Far too hot to bother with clothes. "I am home," I told him firmly. "Andres and I are perfectly happy and settled here." He scowled.
"You shouldn't be with him. He's a criminal."
"Not anymore," I told him, repeating something I'd said another thousand times. "I'm starting to regret telling you we're together. I want to share things with you.
I don't want to lose you as a friend. But if you keep interrogating me every time we talk, I can't keep doing this.
You already know you won't find me. I've made sure of that. If I worked so hard to cover my tracks, do you really think I'm just going to tell you if you pester me often enough?
He blew out a long sigh. No, I don't expect you to tell me, even though I wish you would. I worry about you.
Don't, I insisted. I've never been happier. Really.
Now, if we're not going to play a game, fill me in on what's going on. Did you get all the dirt I sent you on Christian Moreno? I want to make sure all his people get rounded up and the people they've hurt are saved.
I thought about Lauren, my heart squeezing.
Dex had told me they'd recovered her and the other girls from Andres' building weeks ago. I hope she was okay and able to get the help she needed to heal.
Yes, Dex confirmed, his lips still thin with disapproval. Although there seems to be a key player missing in everything you've sent us. You know, the man who was actually running the organization.
I waved him off. Andres was acting under duress. He's squeaky clean now, and he'll never hurt anyone else.
Well, he might still whip me occasionally, but that was just for fun. And Dex definitely didn't need to know about it.
Tell Jason I haven't given up on helping him either. I shifted topics. I'm still trying to track Division 9C for him. We'll find them and trace them back to whatever organization they represent.
I was in full-on hero mode these days, kicking ass and taking names. From behind the safety of my screen, of course. I was working on ensuring all Christian's people were arrested, tracking Division 9C for Jason, and, although I hadn't told Andres, looking for any whispers that Valentino was still alive. I didn't want to open up old wounds, only to let him down if I found something horrible about his sister's fate.
I'll tell Jason, Dex promised. But I wish you weren't going all vigilante on me. I can't keep you safe if I don't know where you are.
That's not your job, I told him. Andres is here to protect me.
Trust me, he's way scarier than you. He'll keep me safe.
Always,
he swore, his accented voice rumbling over me. Even after spending nearly every waking moment with him for a month, I still got all shivery and blissed out in his presence. I didn't think that would ever fade. He crossed our bedroom, closing the distance between us. He took a moment to glance at my screen, shooting a warning glare at Dex before he tangled his fingers in my hair and crushed his lips to mine. It was an obvious display of ownership. He still wasn't entirely happy that I'd maintained contact with Dex, even though I'd managed to convince him I only saw Dex as a friend. He deepened the kiss, claiming my mouth in firm, dominant strokes of his tongue against mine. I moaned and brought my hands up to capture his face, pulling him closer. Dex cleared his throat pointedly. Refusing to break our kiss, Andres reached out with his free hand and snapped the laptop closed. I giggled against him, giddy at his possessive instincts when it came to me. He loved me fiercely, to the point of obsession. I was equally obsessed, so I didn't mind at all. I couldn't get enough of him, and I never would. His hands fisted in the shirt that covered me, and the buttons popped free with a powerful jerk of his arms. He wore only a towel, his hair still wet from a shower. I tugged the soft fabric from his hips, revealing his hard desire for me. His weight settled over me, pinning me down against the massive bed we shared. Andres had spared no expense in selecting a home for us and furnishing it with all his favorite kinky gear. Other than three members of staff, we lived alone on our private little slice of paradise. No one was around to complain about my screams of tormented ecstasy that floated through the humid air. I felt a little guilty at the extravagance, but after looking at Andres's financials, I decided we could keep a small piece for ourselves to ensure our safety and comfort. No one would find us here. I donated the rest of the money from his drug empire to various charities, mostly organizations that supported women who'd suffered abuse. Andres had approved,
wanting to do what he could to atone for Christian's bliss trafficking. He was so good at his core, so kind and caring. He'd carry guilt for what he'd helped his brother do for the rest of his life. But I'd be here to help purge him of the dark moods that claimed him. He wasn't in a particularly dark mood at the moment, just possessive, hungry. He kissed his way down my neck, between my breasts, pausing to press his lips against the raised pink scar on my hip where the bullet had ripped through me. He'd managed to get his private physician to arrive at his penthouse in time to stop me from bleeding out. One of my ovaries had been damaged, but the doctor said I'd still be able to have children. My birth control shot would be effective for another 3 months. But I didn't think Andres was going to provide me with another one when it wore off. I didn't want him to, anyway. I wanted a child with him. Our lives would be unconventional, but we'd be a family. He finished lavishing attention on the mark I'd gotten when I'd saved us, my wet pussy distracting him. He gripped my thighs with harsh hands and pinned them down, spreading me wide for him. My eyes closed on a groan when he licked me, his clever tongue knowing just how to caress and play to drive me wild. My fingers speared into his hair, pulling him closer. He growled against me and nipped at my clit. I shrieked as my pleasure spiked in response. "Please, master," I panted, loving the feel of his title on my tongue. "Please, fuck me." As much as I reveled in his hot mouth on my pussy, it couldn't compare to the feel of him filling me, marking me. He pressed one last kiss on my clit before pulling away. Shifting his grip from my thighs to my hips, he flipped me over onto my front. A delighted laugh bubbled up my throat as giddiness soared through me. The strong, assured way he so easily handled my body sent bliss pulsing through my veins. When he was in control, I could let go and relax. I didn't have to worry about being a hero or think about the weight of everyone who was counting on me to save them. I could just be me. I could be vulnerable with him because I knew in my heart I could trust him to take care of me. I hadn't withered in his captivity. I'd become stronger than ever. He'd torn me down to my basest self and built me back up again, making me whole for the first time in years. He made me whole, and I'd made him whole in return. He still bore the marks of his brother's torment, but they didn't go deeper than his skin anymore. He'd escaped. We'd both escaped. In so many ways, we'd freed each other. "I need you," I moaned as he pulled me up onto my knees, positioning my pussy where he wanted it. "I need you inside me." I needed to feel him penetrating me deep, for him to complete me. He entered me in one hard thrust, stretching me ruthlessly. "Mine," he snarled, driving into me in harsh, fast strokes. This wasn't slow seduction, but it was our own particularly dark brand of lovemaking. My pleasure crested as his cockhead dragged across my G-spot, delicious tension coiling low in my belly. His hand fisted in my hair at my nape, pulling my head back sharply so I was forced to arch into him. At the same time, he pinched my clit. I screamed and shattered, my inner walls fluttering around him as he roared out his own release. His cum branded me with the heat I loved so much. He held me in place as he emptied his seed deep inside me, keeping our bodies locked together as we both rode out the last of our ecstasy. When he finally pulled out, he collapsed onto the bed and draped me over his chest so he could cuddle me and pet me. He needed to touch me as badly as I needed to be touched. We lay there for several minutes, catching our breath, while our fingers explored the lines of each other's bodies. After a while, I trailed my hand down his abs, making my way to his cock.
It jerked beneath my soft touch, his desire for me rising to meet my own craving for him. He sat up, propping his back against the pillows as I straddled his hips and guided him inside me once again. He hissed out a long breath as I slowly lowered myself onto him.
Te amo, mi sirenita,
he said on a rough whisper.
Te amo.
I love you, my master, my Andres. I leaned into him and captured his lips, claiming him as he'd claimed me. Andres was mine, and I would never let him go.
This is the end of Book One, but the story continues with My Sweet Captive, a bonus story in the Subversive series. Keep listening after the credits to hear more. You have been listening to Sweet Captivity, Book One of the Subversive series, produced by Greg Lawrence, associate producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by Julia Sykes. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing, all rights reserved.
My sweet captive, Andres. There was nothing particularly remarkable about the woman bound to the chair before me, except for her flame-red hair. I studied her with detached interest as she blinked and shook her head in an attempt to come back to full consciousness. I'd sent my men to pick her up. They drugged her and brought her here. To me. Me. Not my sadistic brother. But I'd made the mistake of informing Christian that the young woman had been caught spying on our people, and he had insisted on being the one to interrogate her. I swallowed hard and tore my eyes away from the gleam of the wicked hunting knife he held at his side. I knew what it felt like to be carved up, tortured. The scars on my chest and face wouldn't allow me to forget it. Sweat beaded on the back of my neck, but I kept my expression carefully blank. I couldn't show any sign of weakness around my brother. The woman's eyes finally focused on Christian and the knife he held. I caught a flash of lovely sky blue as her pale lashes fluttered and then flew wide on a gasp. She twisted against the ropes that bound her arms behind the metal chair. I couldn't help but note how her struggles made her small breasts strain against her blouse. Her little fearful whimper made something dark stir inside my chest. I took a breath and pushed down my more perverted instincts. This woman wasn't mine to train. She was facing a horrific death at the hands of my brother. One that I would have to watch and pretend it didn't bother me to see her ruby blood splatter all over the concrete basement floor.
You don't want to do this?
She choked out, her voice high and thin.
Let me go.
An interesting response. She was certainly fearful, but her first instinct wasn't to beg for her life. She was warning Christian not to hurt her. Despite her situation, the woman, Samantha, was brave. My stomach churned. I was going to have to watch my brother break her of that bravery before he finally killed her. No, Samantha, he said, his tone chillingly calm. You're never leaving this place. Not alive, at least. If you answer my questions, I might be inclined to mercy. Otherwise... He let the unspoken threat hang in the air. My brother knew just how to extract the most toxic fear from his victims. We have to do this, I reasoned. She's nothing to me, nothing but a threat that needs to be dealt with. I'd killed plenty of men, more than I could remember. But I hated watching Christian tear people apart, especially women. I might have my own sadistic streak when it came to women, but I never truly harmed them. That made me less of a monster, didn't it? Samantha gasped in several deep breaths, visibly mastering her fear. My friends will find me, she flung out, defiant. If they do... They won't find more than what's left of your body. I remained silent, allowing Christian to terrorize her while I recorded the horrific events on my smartphone. I wanted no part of this, and although watching her death would make me sick, it was almost a relief that I didn't have to question her like this myself. I could let my brother get his hands dirty. Samantha redoubled her efforts to twist out of the ropes that bound her. "You can't hurt me," she said desperately. "If you kill me, my friends will hunt you down." Christian grinned, baring his perfect white teeth. "I want them to know what I've done. Your death will be a warning. We're going to send a little message to your friends." He gestured toward me and Samantha looked directly at me. First, her eyes caught on the phone that was recording her torture. Then her gaze lifted slightly, finding my face. Her eyes met mine for a split second before she saw the scar that twisted my face. She shuddered and tore her eyes away. Something ugly stirred in my gut. Christian laughed, delighted at her reaction.
"What? You don't like my little brother?" he taunted. "Maybe I'll give you to him to play with after I'm finished with you. He has very unique tastes."
I bid back the demand that he give her to me now. If he wanted me to get answers out of her, I could do that without mutilating her. But I didn't make demands of my brother. I'd learned that lesson a long time ago. He touched her freckled cheek and she cringed away.
"I think Andres will like you. Such pale skin. It will mark up nicely."
I hated that his words rang true. I'd so much rather see the marks of my whip leaving their angry red brand on her skin than see him cutting into her flesh. Christian shook his head slightly, still smiling.
"But I'm getting ahead of myself. He can have you when I'm done. I'm going to extract my answers first."
He touched the tip of the knife to her throat and her breath stuttered. A foolish urge to surge forward and tear him away from her rushed through me, but I quickly mastered it. I might be bigger than my brother, but he was far more powerful in so many ways. All I could do was hope that Samantha gave him the answers he wanted before he hurt her too badly. I wasn't sure if he was threatening to give her to me in order to scare her, or if he was taunting us both. He knew I'd rather have her for myself than witness the gory scene he intended for her. He was teasing me, testing me, tormenting me just as he was terrorizing her. Christian stepped behind her so my camera could get a clearer view. He intended to send this footage to whoever she was working for as a warning. His fist tangled in her coppery hair and he tugged her head back sharply, further baring her throat to his knife. She stared up at him, her breaths turning shallow as she focused solely on the threat he posed. He scratched the knife point upward from her throat, grazing under her chin. Her skin turned pink beneath the blade, but he didn't cut into her. Not yet. He pressed the flat of the blade against her full lips, and I tensed. It would be a shame to ruin such a pretty mouth. There were so many other ways I'd like to use it. She whimpered again, the sound going straight to my cock. I might not want Christian to torture her, but seeing her bound and frightened called to my darker urges. I wished I were the one towering over her, feeling her silken hair wrapped around my fist as I commanded her full attention. Christian decided to show a shred of mercy, and he lifted the knife from her lips. She gasped in a quick breath before the blade returned to her throat.
"You are in my territory today, watching my people," he drawled. "One of my men followed you home. Who aren't you working for?"
The last held a harsh ring of command.
"I'm FBI," she whispered.
Fuck. We'd abducted a Fed? If she was telling the truth, we just made a grave mistake. It was one thing to protect our product from rivals. Provoking the Feds was stupid and reckless. Christian frowned.
"A sniper made an attempt on my life a few days ago. The Feds wouldn't assassinate me. Who aren't you really working for?"
He increased the pressure of the knife and a drop of crimson beaded on her throat.
"I really am FBI," she said in a rush. "My name is Samantha Browning. I am a tech analyst. Well, I was. I'm a field agent now. I'm not trying to kill you. We're investigating you. You have to know you're on our radar. Please, I swear I'm FBI.
She was babbling, fear making the truth spill from her lips. She might be a very accomplished liar, but I doubted it. I could practically feel the terror pulsing off her, could see the fine tremors that racked her slender body. Christian studied her for a moment, considering.
"You're a tech analyst," he said slowly, mulling over the information. "That means you have access to all the evidence the Feds have on me. If you're telling the truth about who you are.
I am, she said quickly. You can't hurt me. If you do, my friends will come after you.
She was right. If we cut her up and dumped her body, there would be hell to pay. Sending the video I'd been recording was out of the question. I turned off my camera and slipped my phone into my pocket. I'd delete the footage later.
I think I'll give you to my brother after all, Christian mused. You'll make sure you're telling the truth. I'd rather not mutilate you, if you're going to be useful to me. Andres has more creative ways of breaking women. And I'll keep our little video to ourselves. If you are who you say you are, I'd rather your friends at the FBI don't know I have you.
I didn't have time to draw a relieved breath before he touched the tip of the knife below her left eye. Another drop of blood beaded on her pale skin.
Maybe I'll give you a scar to match my brother's first, he said.
I knew he was taunting me now, but I couldn't hold back a growl. If he truly did intend to give her to me, I wouldn't allow him to carve her up. A sharp, amused grin lit Christian's features.
Apparently, he wants you mostly intact. Should I give him what he wants?
I growled again, a wordless warning. Now that she was mine, I couldn't bear to watch him touching her, tormenting her. I'd barely been able to remain detached when he'd first threatened her with his knife. Now that he was dangling her in front of me like a toy he could take away, it was all I could do to keep myself from attacking him. But that would only make things worse for her, and for me.
Not the face, then, Christian declared. But I think I'll let Andres see what he's getting to work with.
The knife left her cheek, and he hooked the blade beneath the top button of her shirt. I clenched my teeth and swallowed a snarl. He was going to bear her, and while I wanted to look at her, I hated watching him strip her for me. Tears finally spilled down her cheeks, but she stopped struggling. Her eyes clouded over, her lashes fluttering. She was barely breathing, and I knew she was on the verge of passing out. Christian's fingers tightened in her hair, denying her the release of unconsciousness.
"Stay with us, Samantha," he chided.
Her eyes focused on him again, and more tears glistened on her cheeks. Christian finally cut her. He grazed a crimson line across her collarbone, the cut shallow but painful as the metal grated against bone. Her scream ripped into me. I wanted her screams for myself. I wanted her tears. But not like this. Not with blood. And not with Christian. He hooked the blade through the little strip of cotton that connected the cups of her innocent white bra, parting the fabric and exposing her. Her scream choked off on a sob. She was terrified, humiliated.
"What do you think, hermanito?" he asked me. "Is she pretty enough for you? She's not a great beauty, but her nipples stand out nicely against her pale skin."
My gaze locked on her dusky pink nipples. They were peaked from the coolness of the knife on her flesh. Just as Christian said, they were pretty and perfect against her alabaster skin. She began to shake violently, the cold of the blade sinking deep into her bones as she started going into shock.
"And her eyes are quite lovely," Christian continued in detached observation. "So much fear there. You like when they're frightened, don't you, Andres?"
My only answer was a low grunt. I didn't want to admit it aloud. I didn't want him to hear the eager rasp in my voice. He really was going to give her to me. He'd hurt her, but I'd patch her up and take care of her. She probably wouldn't see it that way, but she'd come around, once I'd trained her. Christian's knife finally left her skin to slice through the ropes that bound her wrists. She slumped forward, and I immediately closed the distance between us to catch her before she slid to the floor. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Christian smirk. He knew he'd just given me a gift, and he also knew he could take it away at any time. I did my best to school my features to a blank mask so he couldn't see how badly I wanted to get her away from him. No one should see her bare body but me from now on. He might not find her beautiful, but that didn't mean he wouldn't touch her just to taunt me. I lifted her slight frame up and cradled her against my chest, holding her fragile body with care. For a moment, her sky-blue eyes caught mine. Then they rolled back in her head, and she went limp in my arms as her terror finally overwhelmed her. My gut clenched.
She was as frightened of me as she was of Christian's knife.
You're welcome, Christian drawled. It's been a while since you had a plaything, hasn't it? If you'd just make use of our horse, you wouldn't be so needy.
I ground my teeth together, saying nothing. Those women were kept drugged to make them compliant. It made me sick. I might have my own deviant perversions, but I'd never raped a woman. I wouldn't. Christian sighed, disappointed that I hadn't risen to his bait.
Make sure she's telling the truth about being a fed, he ordered. Then I'll decide what to do with her. Until then, she's yours.
Mine. I pulled her tighter against my chest. Christian smirked again. I turned sharply and strode toward the elevator that would take me up to my penthouse, carrying my precious prize with me. I laid her slim body down on my bed and placed the necessary items to tend her on the mattress beside her. Damp cloth, surgical glue, sedative. The last was in case she turned out to be a more formidable opponent than I suspected. She claimed she was a trained FBI field agent. She might be small, but that didn't mean she couldn't be fierce. Once she woke up, I'd have the drugs nearby as a precaution. I wasn't overly concerned about her ability to overpower me, but I wasn't stupid enough to underestimate her either. For now, I needed to clean the bloody cut on her collarbone and glue the wound closed. As soon as I touched the antiseptic-soaked cloth to her torn skin, she hissed and bolted upright. I gripped her upper arms and pushed her back down. She squirmed and kicked out in blind panic, her fingers curling and clawing ineffectively. Not so formidable after all. If Samantha was a field agent, she was either not very well trained, or she'd never been in a high-stress scenario before. Her physical defensive reaction should be far more methodical, precise, and ingrained. I grasped her wrists to save my skin from her raking fingernails, pinning them against the mattress at either side of her hips. She whined and writhed, and blood oozed from the cut on her collarbone.
Calm down, Cosita, or I'll have to restrain you, I warned.
I grumbled my disapproval of her continued flailing. She was giving way to panic, and she was only preventing me from treating her injury. I lifted her arms above her head and quickly secured her wrists in place with the cuffs I kept attached to my bed. Her struggles only increased, and she twisted her body in an effort to kick out at me. She might not be very skilled, but she was still a fighter at heart. She was terrified, and her instinct was to try to escape. She could have just trembled and cried and surrendered to her fate, but she wouldn't give in so easily. I'd enjoy the challenge she posed. I moved down the bed and caught her ankles, cuffing them to the bedposts. She was stretched out before me, and I finally allowed myself to really look at her for the first time. Despite her bonds, she hadn't stopped struggling. I admired the way her small breasts bounced slightly as she twisted and turned. She was still exposed where Christian had cut away her shirt and bra, but I hadn't allowed myself to truly appreciate her lithe body in his presence. The darker part of me very much enjoyed seeing her bound beneath me, helpless and trapped. Mine. She wasn't going anywhere. Her crystalline blue eyes finally focused on me and they widened, like a frightened doe. I pressed my hand against her bare stomach, pinning her down against the mattress like a delicate butterfly. I simply watched and waited for her to exhaust herself. She wasn't giving up easily, but eventually she'd surrender to her predicament. Then I'd be able to close her wound and begin to learn her body. Finally, she stilled beneath me, but her limbs still quivered, practically vibrating with the desire to escape.
Are you done?
I asked calmly.
Fuck you,
she flung at me. I couldn't allow that kind of language. It seemed her training would have to begin a little sooner than I'd intended. She needed to understand her place with me. Keeping her pinned in place with one hand, I brought the other down on her breasts, slapping the outer swells just hard enough to leave a fierce sting. Her shrill cry made my cock stiffen, but it was too soon for that. No matter how alluring I found her, I wouldn't take her before she was ready to accept me without fear. That didn't mean I wouldn't handle her body as I wished. I didn't stop slapping her breasts until her eyes began to shine with tears. I won't tolerate insults, I informed her. I wasn't angry. This was discipline. She simply had to learn how to behave properly. You will speak to me with respect. Did you understand? No, she moaned, but the word was more horrified than venomous. You will understand soon, I promised her, deciding she didn't require further punitive correction. You're frightened, but you will learn. For now, I'm warning you not to curse at me again. Tell me you'll obey. Her tears spilled over, glistening on her lovely skin before falling into her flame-red hair. She didn't answer immediately, so I fixed her with my most forbidding stare. Tell me. That little whimper that had already tempted me slipped through her lips, and she managed a shaky nod. Her capitulation sent dark satisfaction coursing through me. I softened toward her, pleased with her surrender. In the future, I will expect a verbal answer, I told her. You belong to me now, Samantha. Defiance will lead to punishment. Obedience will be rewarded. You choose whichever you want. I might seem like a harsh master, but I'm fair. Your behavior has consequences, either painful or pleasurable for you.
Please, she choked out. I can't. I don't. Don't.
Her breaths turned sharp and shallow as her panic began to take hold of her again. She wasn't drawing in enough air, and I didn't want her to faint again. I cupped her face with both hands, bracketing her cheeks. Breathe, I ordered, lightly stroking her smooth skin, both to soothe her and to satisfy my own curiosity. She was even softer than she appeared. Delicate. I could break her with my bare hands. But that would be a waste. I had so many more deviant ways I wanted to touch her. She still wasn't calming, so I allowed myself to explore further, threading my fingers through her silken hair and lightly massaging her scalp. Breathe with me, I ordered gently. I drew in a slow, deep breath and she mirrored me. Again, she continued to comply, and after a while her breathing returned to a more natural rhythm. She went limp against the mattress, all of the fight finally leaving her. Her eyes glazed over slightly as exhaustion claimed her. I wanted to keep touching, exploring, but I was mindful of her injury. I needed to take care of her immediate needs before I could satisfy my own desires. Better. I nodded my approval and returned my attention to my task. I picked up the cloth I'd been using to clean the cut before she'd roused. You're still bleeding. I'm going to clean you up. This will sting a little. Stay still. I kept one hand against her cheek, hooking my thumb beneath her jaw to lock her in place. Dry blood was smeared on her porcelain cheek where Christian's knife had pierced her skin when he threatened to give her a scar to match my own. I smothered my fury and shoved the memory down. Samantha was mine now, and I wouldn't allow him to harm her again. I touched the cloth to the tiny cut and she hissed in pain, but she didn't move away. Good girl, I praised, pleased that she wasn't fighting me anymore. It seemed she would respond to a firm but fair hand. That would make things easier for her in the coming days. I moved my attention to the cut on her collarbone. This one was more painful for her, and she made little keening noises through clenched teeth as I worked. I shushed her, the soft sound meant to comfort rather than rebuke. When I was satisfied that the cut wouldn't become infected, I drew back and considered her for a long moment. Her lovely eyes were still wide and frightened, but pain lingered in the fine lines around them. She shuddered, her terror still riding her hard. I frowned and smoothed away the crease in her brow with my fingertips. You're hurting, I observed. You didn't do anything to deserve this. I wouldn't put her through any more of the pain that Christian had inflicted. I reached for the sedative. She cringed away from the syringe. My brother gave me this in case I needed to subdue you, but it will take away your pain. I told you I'm a fair master. I won't hurt you if you don't earn a punishment.
I don't want it,
she said on a tight whisper. I decide what's best for you from now on.
Please,
she begged, her body tensing again. Unconcerned with her pleas, I carefully slid the needle into her arm. Hush now, cosita. You'll feel better once you wake up. She made a slurred sound of soft defiance, but her tension eased. I stroked her hair back from her forehead, soothing her as she slipped into unconsciousness. When I was certain that she wouldn't feel any pain, I closed the wound before freeing her from the cuffs. Then I removed her ruined shirt and bra. I worked methodically as I stripped her, careful not to touch her sexually. I had no desire to explore her body when she was drugged. I wanted her fully aware when I began demonstrating my claim over her. My control. I tucked her beneath the sheets. I should return to my work. She wasn't going anywhere and couldn't try to escape while drugged. But I decided I'd rather stay near her, just in case. I got ready for bed and stripped off my own clothes, deciding to wear sweatpants at the last minute rather than sleeping naked beside her. I didn't want to frighten her too badly when she awoke. I didn't want her to think I'd violated her in the night when she couldn't resist me. The very thought made me sick. I told myself I wouldn't touch her again until she was conscious, but my body shaped itself around hers in the night. I didn't move away from her when I awoke the next morning. Instead, I studied the way the light streaming from the floor-to-ceiling windows played through her hair, the way it illuminated her ivory skin, making her dusting of freckles stand out. She was cute when she was like this, soft and sleepy in my arms, although I found myself wanting to see her wide blue eyes again. They were remarkable, shining from within like aquamarine gemstones. She stirred beside me and snuggled closer. A strange sensation tugged at my scar, and I realized I was smiling. It felt odd, unfamiliar. Her brow furrowed, her eyes remaining closed for a few seconds longer as she came back to awareness. Then her eyes snapped open, and she jerked upright. I allowed my arm to fall away from her chest, although I could have easily kept her pinned beside me. I was curious to see what she would do next. She'd proven feisty thus far, brave and defiant, but reasonable and compliant when she realized she couldn't fight me. Would that same fire persist this morning? Or would she tremble and cry? I wasn't sure which outcome I'd prefer. I found her especially alluring with pretty tears glistening on her cheeks. She gasped and scrambled away from me, tumbling off the bed to fall on her ass. I smothered a laugh as she pushed up onto her feet and began to back away. Her eyes were wide and wary when they locked on mine. Beautiful. Her chest rose and fell rapidly and her nipples pebbled. I wasn't sure if it was in response to cool air or the weight of my gaze on her. She clapped her hands over her breasts and pussy, trying to hide herself from me. She really was cute. Her eyes began to shine, tears pooling at the corners. Something dark stirred inside my chest. A deep, perverse satisfaction.
"I thought you were my blanket," she blurted out.
My smile widened, stretching my scar strangely. I certainly hadn't expected her to say anything like that. I propped up on one elbow and studied her more intently, fascinated. No woman had ever reacted like this when realizing she was trapped with a monster. "Excuse me." She took a hasty step back, clutching her hands tighter against herself.
"I have a weighted blanket. At home, it helps with anxiety. Your arm was heavy, I thought it was my blanket. That's why I..." "Stop looking at me!"
she shouted. I smothered the laughter that threatened to bubble up. "I like looking at what's mine," I told her truthfully.
"I'm not yours,"
she defied me, although her tone was high and thin rather than acidic. I couldn't allow that kind of defiance of my claim over her. I finally got out of bed and prowled toward her. Her remarkable eyes flicked down my body. I wished her eyes were widening in response to my physique, but I knew she was only seeing the raised scars that marred my chest and abdomen. But I was too intrigued by her to get caught up in my dark memories. She shrank back, trembling. "My brother was right," I said aloud. "Your eyes are lovely when you're frightened, wide and blue, like a pretty doll." I took another step toward her. "Am I so terrifying, Serenita?" The Colombian endearment slipped off my tongue without a thought. She dodged back, but there was nowhere for her to go. Her back hit the window and she glanced behind her at the Chicago skyline.
She yelped and tried to push away from the dizzying view, but I had closed the distance between us. She smacked into my chest, but I didn't give her the opportunity to evade me. Her fighting spirit returned. I saw it in the flash of her eyes just before she attacked. Her fist swung wildly, and I didn't bother to dodge back. She lightly connected with my jaw, but I barely felt the impact. Then she brought her knee up. I wasn't willing to allow that particular blow to land. I shifted so my thigh blocked her before she could knee me in the balls. I frowned down at her in disapproval. I couldn't let that slide. I might find her efforts to fight me intriguing, but she needed to learn that I wouldn't permit her to truly harm me. I handled her carefully but firmly as I gripped her waist and turned her away from me. I dropped to my knees, taking her down with me and positioning her over my thighs so her pert little ass was raised for my discipline. She continued to struggle, trying to push up onto her hands and knees. I caught her wrists and secured them at the small of her back with one hand. Without her hands to support her, she folded over my lap, her cheek coming to rest on the plush carpet. She made a fierce little sound, like an angry kitten. I allowed myself a moment to indulge in the sound before bringing my hand down on her ass, administering her first spanking. She shrieked and writhed, kicking out as she tried to evade the sting of my palm. But she wasn't going anywhere. She would feel the heat of my discipline and learn her lesson. "Don't ever try that again," I admonished. "You will not fight me." I struck her upper thigh and she howled out her rage. "You belong to me. You will accept your place."
"Stop fucking saying that,"
she shouted. I increased the intensity of my next blow, ensuring she felt the sting of my rebuke. "I get to say what I want. I get to do what I want. You will learn to mind your tongue. You will learn to behave. You're mine, cosita. Mine to play with. Mine to punish. Just mine." A strange kind of fever overtook me as I spoke the words, and my cock began to stiffen against her belly.
"No,"
she tried to refuse, but the word came out on a low moan. I became aware of the musky scent of feminine arousal. "Perfect." Samantha responded to a little carnal pain. She might not realize it, but she liked being dominated. It wasn't an uncommon reaction, but I was pleased by her response. Finally, she stilled her struggles, and a harsh sob left her chest. I immediately stopped spanking her and smoothed my palm over her burning flesh. It was meant to soothe her, but I enjoyed the heat emanating from her reddened ass. I did love seeing the glow of my discipline on her pale skin. It was every bit as lovely as I'd imagined. "There," I praised. "Isn't that better? Don't try to hurt me again, Samantha." I continued stroking her, and she let out a throaty groan. I was sure she didn't realize what she was doing, but her thighs parted slightly, inviting me to touch her needy pussy. Taking advantage of the silent invitation, I touched two fingers against her soaked lower lips, exploring the silky wetness that coated them.
"You're wet," I confirmed.
"We are going to get along, Serenita."
"Don't,"
she squeaked, twisting against me as she renewed her struggles. Her movements stimulated my hard cock, tormenting me. I hissed out of breath and tightened my grip on her. "Stop grinding against me," I ordered. She was rubbing herself against me, seeking more stimulation even as she begged me to stop. "You want me to touch your little clit, greedy girl?" I asked, roughly, barely able to contain my desire. She stiffened, her entire body going rigid. Despite her instinctive, lustful reaction to my discipline, I'd spooked her. Her skin pebbled, and she began to shake violently. This wasn't the reaction I'd wanted at all. My desire cooled, and I turned her body so I could cradle her against my chest. I stroked her chilled skin, murmuring to her in Spanish. She might not understand the words, but I slipped into my native tongue without thinking about it. She drew in a shuddering breath, and her shaking lessened to a light tremble.
"You're okay," I assured her in English. "Don't be afraid."
She blinked, the terror clearing from her eyes to be replaced with hollow defeat. Her tears no longer pleased me. Not like this.
"Let me go,"
she whispered brokenly.
"That's not going to happen.
I spoke to her calmly, trying to soften the fear I knew my words would inflict.
Stop touching me,
she begged. That wasn't what she needed, and it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to hold her, to soothe her. I will touch you whenever and however I want. I studied her frightened eyes for a moment longer. Then I sighed, and I finally released her. We will work on this later, I promised. She shoved up onto her feet and took several steps back from me, watching me like a wary, cornered animal. Her gaze flicked toward the closed bedroom door. No, I told her sternly. Don't try it or I'll spank you again. Go wash away those tears. I gestured in the direction of the bathroom. She needed a little space from me, and I'd allow it. For now. She darted into the bathroom and slammed the door, locking it behind her as though that could keep me out if I wanted to get to her. I heard water running for a few minutes, then silence. The lock finally slid back, but she didn't emerge. I allowed her some time to collect herself, but she stayed too long. She was testing me, and I couldn't allow that. Samantha, I prompted, come out of there. A little sniffling noise sounded through the door. She was crying, trying to hide from me. I couldn't allow that. Come out here. Now, Cosita. I imbued the last with warning. She needed to understand that I wouldn't hesitate to come in and retrieve her. Nothing she did could keep me from getting to her, from holding her and touching her if I wanted to. She didn't respond in any way. I sighed, resigning myself to going in if she didn't come out in the next 10 seconds. You will regret this. You must learn to obey me, even if you're scared or upset. I'm giving you one last chance. Come. She didn't respond. She didn't obey. I opened the door, expecting to find her huddled and weeping. Instead, she launched herself at me with a maddening shriek. Something sharp and silver glinted in her hand, and I dodged back just in time to prevent the razor blade from nicking my throat. Her aim had been off, and she wouldn't have done any real damage. As it was, the blade grazed a thin, shallow line down my chest. She paused, her eyes fixing on the blood that welled up from the tiny cut. She froze in shock. Maybe she had intended to cut my throat, but it seemed she didn't have it in her. She might have just been sloppy, but her reaction to drawing my blood let me know she'd never truly hurt anyone before. In her moment of hesitation, I grabbed her wrist. I barely hit the squeeze before the razor blade dropped from her fingers to fall harmlessly on the carpet. She might have expected my ire at her half-hearted attempt on my life, but all I felt was mild disappointment that she'd done something so foolish. If anything, her bravery and resultant shock at harming me intrigued me more than ever. She didn't strike me as a liar. But she couldn't possibly be an FBI field agent if she couldn't stomach hurting a man. Keeping my hold on her wrist, I took a step toward her. She dodged back.
I cut you,
she blurted, her eyes clouding with confusion. You did? I responded calmly. She'd have to be punished for her little transgression, no matter how remorseful she appeared. Aren't you really so eager for another spanking already? Did you enjoy it so much? I'll have to devise more clever punishments for you. Another strange smile tugged at my scar. We are going to get along well.
Stop saying that,
she demanded, her voice hitching.
I don't want you to spank me. I don't want you to touch me.
She might think those things, but they were outright lies. I stepped forward, closing the distance between us. Her back hit the wall, and I captured both of her wrists in one hand, pinning them above her head. Her little body was trapped by mine, caged in by my much larger frame. I liked how small she felt in my hold, how helpless. I liked how she stared up at me with wide eyes as she drew in panting breaths. Liar, I informed her smoothly. I won't tolerate that either. You enjoyed your spanking. I wedged my thigh between hers, forcing her legs apart. I reached between us with my free hand and lightly slapped her pussy. She let out a strangled cry. Her eyes remained wide with disbelief, but on the second slap, they clouded over with confusion. Her lower lips would be burning and tingling,
If her reaction was anything like it had been when I'd spanked her before, she'd become aroused by the punitive touch. I stared down at her, watching her reactions closely. I scented her wetness again. She bucked in my hold, her body torn between a desire for escape and a yearning to seep more.